I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new music podcast by Podcart.
One more tune. Welcome to the new One More Tune podcast. My name is Helena Rafai.
I'm Ewan Davidson.
And I'm Mel Reed.
We have each picked three songs that we are really loving over the last month, but we haven't listened to each other's picks, and you'll hear our instant reactions.
Remember, if you like to listen to people fighting about music, you can subscribe to us on Apple Music or Acast or on your preferred podcast app.
We're going to kick off with the first song. It's Hélène Vogelsinger. One more tune. That was Hélène Vogelsinger, and completely unsobering, overwhelming piece that kind of leaves me ecstatic, stimulated, and the forest of tiny hairs on my arms are lifting their branches to the sky. I feel it's just so well crafted, and it's a cerebral listening experience, and obviously with the name Rebirth, then it lives up to that. So it's taken from a release. I'm not really sure if it's a mini album or an EP, but it's called Contemplation. It's just come out. And for me, it's just kind of really refreshing to hear a woman within this field that I love so much and I'm so entrenched in, particularly over the last couple of years, which is minimal electro, but also composers that are coming through. And I am just, the whole EP, I'm going to call it an EP because of the amount of tracks on it, but you know, they can correct me, but all the tracks are phenomenal. And I guess people that are into the likes of John Hopkins and so on might be into this. But yeah, what does everyone think?
I mean, that is incredibly impactful. It feels just right from the start. It feels like this massive hole in the ground that's kind of enveloping all around it. It's this really sort of guttural kind of, impactful kind of music. It took me to this sort of feeling I got when I saw Fuck Buttons play live for the first time. Where I can sort of imagine it being like, it's this kind of sort of trancey kind of just atmospheric music. But equally, there's lots of kind of really quite nice little flourishes to it. Like, I love the sort of arpeggiated synths and kind of stuff that's going on. And I was doing a little bit of digging on Spotify to see what her other records were like, and I noticed that she was on a playlist called Sexy and Great Female Voices or something like that, which is very Your Dad's Got Spotify kind of vibe to it. But that was extremely, extremely good. And just, a real choice for the first track of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously very stunning and evocative. I've been listening to lots of Gregorian chant lately. And
of course.
It reminded me, no questions. It reminded me a lot of that. And I think there's something very old and very new in kind of the vocals and the emotions that it brings in you. And then at the same time, also very fresh and exciting. So I'm going to go listen to the rest of that EP as soon as we're done.
It's the kind of thing that you might see being called ethereal or transcendent, which are two words we need to ban from the music journalism lexicon.
Yeah, ethereal's one I think I actually just used a couple of days ago. So I'll smack myself. And,
No, I'm guilty of it too. I'm just, if you admit that you have a problem, then it's easier to address. So that's what I'm doing in this space right now. I'm going to be taking time off social media. I hope you respect my wishes at this time.
You're going to find a more ethereal place to...
Are you going to transcend?
I'm going to try and transcend, yeah. I'll be listening to sophomore albums only. Let's move on to Kapil. And his new song is called The Pink Mirror. And it sounds like the following.
Masquerading as an allergy.
So that was The Pink Mirror by Pogchart favourite Kapil Seshiasi. And if it sounds cinematic, it's for a reason. So basically the story behind the song is, in 2003, a camp comedy Hindi film by queer filmmaker Siddhar Rangayan, titled The Pink Mirror, was banned by the Indian Censor Board. It was deemed to be vulgar, and the film had portrayed trans people as protagonists. And in an interview, Kapil said, "If you grew up in the West, there's such a narrow identity of who an Indian can be. My own Indian identity interests me a lot, and I try to learn from other activists to give visibility to issues without making it about myself." And I just think it's cinematic. And while if you didn't know the themes of the song, it sounds like you could fight aliens to it if you wanted to. But it is actually, it's another really socially conscious effort from an artist who continues to bloom. And there's another excellent single, which follows up from the 2018 record A Sacred Boar, which in my view is a modern classic, certainly a Scottish classic. And Kapil is at it again. What did you guys think?
I love the massive synth on that, and then the like slightly unexpected guitar. Like, it just, I find with Kapil's music, it never goes quite where I expect it to, and I'm always so happy with whatever happens. With that context, it's really interesting. I agree, I would love to fight aliens to that song, but also just kind of hearing that cinematic element, I think, makes a lot of sense and makes me want to watch that film now, for sure.
I feel like a psychic, because I've drawn on themes of what you've both said here before, like, I've done a bit of a Darren Brown. So anyway, so the word manic you mentioned, Ewan. Weirdly, I felt Kapil sounded a bit like James Dean Bradfield, his vocal.
Ooh. Okay.
I absolutely adore James Dean Bradfield. I'm a big Manic Street Preachers fan. So I just think it's like got this kind of pulsing bliss aspect to it, and I'm a massive synth fiend. The beefier, the more the sequencing action's in there, the better. And I guess that what Mel had said about, you know, he never quite goes where you expect, I just love that unpredictability about Kapil. And I honestly feel that Doc and Marty have probably found him on one of their adventures in the future. And he is well beyond his years. He's also well beyond many people that make music in Scotland who are fucking shit. And he really pushes boundaries, and that's why I fucking adore him. I think he is just one of a kind. So, yes.
I absolutely agreed.
You better be crying, Kapil, when you're listening to this.
every time we talk about him, we want to induce tears of joy. Like, his next single, if we cover that, and it's just like he's completely changed focus to like sort of, I don't know, if the next song sounds like The View or something, we'll still be like, Kapil changed my life.
A visionary.
Kapil birthed me.
Yeah, but he's just such a, like, a visionary. It's crazy. Like, you know, I sit and I listen to that song and go, how the fuck did he put that together? Where did those ideas come from? So, yeah, it's just amazing. Because a lot of people would think, nah, that on paper, that's not going to work. But see, in reality, it works.
Mm. Yeah. There's a reason why so many media outlets are starting to take notice. I really hope there's an excellent, like, whenever the second record does come out, I'm really hoping that it's as well received as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they're probably getting quite bored of all the white lad rock bands in Scotland as well.
Oh, you'd have thought.
You can only hope. I mean, it's been long enough, hasn't it?
I know.
Okay. Up next, we have Serafina Simone with Cherry.
Call me in sugar. So I slip down sweet, baby, I'll whisper to you while you sleep. I'm cherry, cherry, and I taste so sweet. Drink deep down. on another round of the American dream. Pucker up, my poison is the price of a painted life, dripping wet before you even take a bite.
It really is a dream.
Coat me in sugar, so I slip down sweet. Baby, I'm the lie that upholds your belief.
You're sleeping.
I'm cherry, and I taste so sweet. Don't waste your Hail Marys. I got you hooked on sugar cane. Now you'll do anything for the taste.
So that's Serafina Simone with Cherry, which is her debut single, and it was released this month with promises of more tracks this year. And she describes it as being about the voice in our heads telling us we don't have enough, telling us to want more, buy more, be richer, be thinner, be prettier, be better than everyone else. And the first time I heard that, I kind of felt like there were hints of Lana Del Rey with the opening drums, and also lyrically, if you're not listening too closely. But then if you do listen closely, you can hear that instead of kind of celebrating that nostalgia for like an America that doesn't really exist, she's using a similar imagery to deconstruct and unpick that idea with those samples of vintage adverts and the sound of a can opening, which build texture. There's also hints of Motown and 60s girl groups like the Shangri-Las with that kind of doo-wopping in the background. And then when it hits the 2:30 mark, there's that wonderful discordant rush. And I think it just becomes clear that this isn't a straightforward indie pop anthem. It's sweet, but a little sinister. There's darkness and a depth. And I am really excited to see what else she has for us. What did you guys think?
Jesus Christ, Mel, you dissected that one, didn't you?
I practiced, okay? I wrote notes, which I don't normally do.
Cherry picking.
Because I always feel like I just talk the same thing over and over again, so.
Ewan just said cherry picking. Just getting
I wasn't giving him attention, but.
So, I think she far surpasses Lana Del Rey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I get what you're saying, totally.
About she's Lana Del Rey, but better.
By a country mile. I guess a bit similar to Kapil. Like there's a lot going on in there. There's some direction there within the vocal production, especially that you are just not expecting. And I love the uneasiness of it. I like that it kind of adds quite a lot of edge and uncertainty, and that's what I love. Her vocal is something else. She really kind of feels, it sounds like she feels quite comfortable with what she's doing. I've just been on her Instagram, however, just during that, and there's a picture of her wearing some shoes that look like they're made out of chewing gum. That kind of disturbed me a bit. But apart from that, it's I think that is like one of those songs that requires multiple listening, you know? Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, that was mad. That was like a sort of Motown kind of K-hole. That didn't go.
See, I put all that effort into words and then Ewan just summed it up perfectly.
Well, it's just that sort of Ronettes kind of drum beat that I love. I absolutely adore that. I mean, I know it was pioneered by Phil Spector, but you can't murder a good drum beat. I thought I'd left an MF Doom song in the background or something because of all those like weird samples. That was totally kind of his oeuvre. And any song that samples the best sound in the world, which is Tinny's opening, is probably okay with me. It would need to be really shit to ruin that sound. So, no, in all seriousness, I can't believe that's a debut. This has happened a few times where we've been listening to a brand new artist.
Is that our first single?
Yep.
Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Disgusting, isn't it? It makes me hate everything I've ever done in my life.
But for a first single, it was ethereal, it was transcendent.
Yeah. For a minute there, I was just like, oh god, Ewan's lost it completely.
No, that was just beyond where I thought it was gonna go. And I liked where I thought it was gonna go. So big ups for subversion in music. We've already seen a fair bit of it so far. Well, heard it, actually, to be more accurate, to use the correct sense.
So, I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm going to go with Bathsheba with Hit and Run.
I fall? I'm falling for you, boy. It's like I crave a decoy. I hear your typical shit. You let me in, only the dismiss. But they hit me, boy. Hear all I say. Do you feel it, boy? Do you feel it? Do you just play it safe? Is this a game for you? Are my feelings fine when you call me late? Just a hit and run.
Singer Bathsheba, and that is Hit and Run. The production within that, the kind of uplifting nature of the song. This isn't a Eurovision entry, but if it was, it'd be up there. It would probably be a winner for me. The 21-year-old singer songwriter is just. She's just got the roots of something quite special, and well, I hope that she has quite a very long career ahead of her.
In my notes, I have simply written, I miss the club. which is how that song makes me feel. I love that. There's something in the vocals that remind me of the kind of like sweet cockiness of early Rihanna, which is the highest compliment, I think. And I just want to be drunk and dancing to that song, to be honest. It's great. A true banger, I would say.
Thanks, Glasgow. It's Estonia here. We're going to give our scores. Denmark, 10 points. Yeah, that was extremely good. I don't really know much about Bathsheba, but I've just read here she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite and later of David, according to the Hebrew Bible. She's most known for the biblical narrative in which she was summoned by King David, who had seen her bathing and lusted after her. She was the mother of Solomon, who succeeded David as king, making her the queen mother. And if you ask me, that's an urgent pop banger. I was mightily impressed by that. The chorus just puts me in that lovely sort of like kind of force of the floor, kind of bossy love, sort of everything's actually going to be okay kind of mood. Why is Scandinavia so good at making pop music?
They seem to kind of find the best relationships with one another. You know, the groups of people that are working together seem to bring the best out in one another. Mm-hmm. And obviously, again, not like Britain.
The next song is by Nathan Bejar, and it's called Anniversary. Right, so that was Nathan. It's either Bayar or Bejar. I'm not entirely sure. I'm very sorry. The song's called Anniversary, and it's via In Real Life, who continue to put out really good stuff, in my opinion. I read that he's Filipino-American. If that's incorrect, then please get in touch. But he's a multidisciplinary artist living in Brooklyn. Brooklyn is, of course, a borough of New York City. So there you go. And his new album, Playroom, is out on July the 8th. And it was arranged, produced, and home recorded by Nathan himself. But yeah, that was Nathan Bejar and Anniversary. So what'd you guys make of that?
Yeah, I really liked that. I thought there was something kind of familiar and cozy about it. But that bass line kept it kind of moving on, almost feeling like slightly uncomfortable, like in a good way. And yeah, I just thought that was a good old listen.
I'd like to say that you are hedonism and hope on a fucking cracker, and I love you. I'd eat your music all day long as my my canapé, my sonic canapé, and something very, very honest about that. I love it. I cannot believe, well, I can believe now because I'm just beyond the realms of being talented anymore, but I can't believe that was all done in your house, because that is crazy. But my God, that is fucking awesome.
I'm glad you liked it. I think that that record Playroom, that's again out on July the 8th via In Real Life, I'm really looking forward to that. It sort of puts me in that kind of like sort of homespun kind of mode of like, I keep saying like, I'm really sorry, of Prince's early records when he sort of did everything. I mean, he did it later on as well, but more primarily the sort of early records where he did absolutely everything. Reminded me a little bit sonically of what David Byrne has been doing in his solo career. I just think it's just really cool music, and it sounds both claustrophobic and kind of ready for a house party. It's just extremely good stuff.
Mel.
Up next, we've got Dua Salah with Body Cast.
On my county ain't all shit, they got bodies on the line. Lately I've been analyzing time, y'all been dodging cameras like they're bullets over crime. Lately all my rations turn to wine, throwing back them bottles till our trauma's all alive. Lately I've been coughing up the rhymes, throwing little fingers like they hopping on my knife. Bitch, I never said it, nah, I never said it. Nah, I never said it. Snitching, you'll regret it. Switching up your setting. Stitch upon your lips, I know you ready. Bitch, I never said it. No, I never said it. No, I never said it. Snitching, you'll regret it. Switching up the setting. Stitch upon my lips, you never ready. Ghost and Michelle, put your penny in a well. Till my body starts to swell. Ghost in a shell, put your pain into the well. Iron out your organs till your body starts to swell. Catch me in the morning, I be seething. Meter on, I'm feeling. Fawning on them folk, I know they fiending. Funny you ain't seen it. Look across the porch, it's almost seen it. Fiber on my chest, it's orthopedic. Bitch, I never said it. No, I never said it. Nah, I never said it. Snitch, you might regret it. Switching up the setting. Stitch upon your lips, you know I read it. Bitch, I never said it. No, I never said it. No, I never said it. Snitch, you'll regret it. Switching up the settings, stitch upon your lips, I know you ready.
I know my rights. They cannot walk in my home. Because if this door was closed, they would have had to knock. Don't ever do that again. Thank you.
Dua Salah is multi-talented with experience in acting, songwriting, activism, and poetry. And apparently their slam poetry is a popular fixture at open mic nights in St. Paul. And they wrote this track last year in response to protests that happened after the murders of Jamar Clark and Philando Castile by police in Minnesota. Salah has been working with an organization called Black Visions Collective in Minnesota and actually decided to release this song to raise funds for the justice organization, given obviously what's happened recently. The clips at the beginning of that track and at the end are taken from a 2019 viral video of Angela Whitehead, who stood up to police who illegally entered her home. And the cover art for that track also lists names of unarmed Black people killed by police in recent years. So obviously really impactful and also just a very beautiful track. They've recently released an EP as well called Rosetta, which I would highly recommend giving a listen. It's a stunning, swaggering, emotive mix of synth and guitars. And if you want to purchase this track to give some money to the Black Visions Collective, They said that the best way to do that is on Bandcamp. You can also donate directly. What did you guys think?
Holy crap. That was unbelievable. I think that's potentially the track of the podcast for me so far. I love how they kind of go so seamlessly between, you know, hip hop, like from rapping to singing, and just unbelievable. The line "knock your organs out till your body starts to swell," and just the kind of ferocity that that's delivered with. But it's also the percussive aspects of the song that really are fantastic, and those elements. There's so many kind of different nuances to the song that make it so special. And that for me is a fully formed artist right there. It's got everything. It's got originality, it's got passion, it's got talent. It's just so far outside of the box. And I suppose it's almost unfair for me to say that that's the track of the podcast, because that so far it's been so strong. And I cannot believe on a weekly basis that people are still saying that there's not enough music out there, or music's not great now when you've got artists like this. I mean, fuck off, come on.
Oh, I know. I was weirdly, I was thinking that as we sort of did this, there's this thing that sort of kind of there's this trope that plays in my head every now and then, like, what if you never find your favorite artist? Like, what if your favorite artist is like struggling somewhere and like you never get to hear their music? And it made me think, like, because it was concurrent with this other thought I was having, where, because I'm quite a simple person, as Helena and Mel can attest. I'm a simple man. And I like to have reference points in terms of, oh, who does this sound like? This reminds me of someone. I think everyone has that to an extent. And the only thing that came to mind was maybe Kilo Quiche. Kilo Quiche, sorry, not quiche. Quiche is an egg-based main course. Maybe sort of Zebra Cats in terms of the pounding sort of bass of it and the vocals a little bit. But it's so kind of out of my world and kind of out of my experience that I was just absolutely blown away by that. Yeah, and again, I use the word urgent earlier, and I use it as a superlative when it comes to music lists. It just sounds so essential and so needed and so vital. And I realize those are synonyms, but I'm really padding out time here because I'll let it sound in my own voice. Yeah, just astounding, absolutely astounding.
Whift, how do you even follow that? Let's go to Ireland. This is Pillow Queens with Handsome Wife.
Your mind so white, I did just when I stole the show. So
Pillar Queens with Handsome Wife. And it's so at the start of this year, they were tipped by so many people as ones to watch. And I think hopefully it will be clear why. The Guardian actually said about that song, a joyous, raucous celebration of queer love. And the song itself, I mean, the band do so much within their community to support a lot of the DIY art scene that's happening. For me, it's a song that kind of proves that you can look back backwards while still kind of paving the way forwards. And it makes me want to get in steal a convertible, first of all. With the top down, be topless with my tits flapping around, crying, shit myself without caring. It's the vocal just kind of swarms beautifully. There's the fire within the performance, and yeah, I just want to scream, fuck yeah.
I mean, I thought the exact same things, I'll be honest. I can't drive though, so it'd have to be on the exercise bike. Yeah, there was so much to enjoy about that. There were about like so many, I mean, quote unquote, kind of indie rock, whatever you want to call it. So many bands forget about hooks. Hooks are important. Hooks are brilliant. It's okay to have hooks. There was about four or five in there. Like, there were just absolute joyous choruses just exploding out of that song. The guitars were just incredible. Take me to a nostalgic sort of like Jesus and Mary Chain kind of place. And fuzzy guitars and really amazing sounding hi-hat. I don't know if anyone else picked up on how good the hi-hat sounded in that song, but big up to hi-hat manufacturers around the world. Thank you for your service, and thank you, Pillow Queens.
We talked about band names last episode, and I think that's a very good example of a really good band name that I'm jealous I didn't think of first. I love that. There's such a delicious tone to that guitar. It's obviously so joyfully queer, and it just makes me have this kind of like hopeful nostalgia. Like, it's the music I wish I'd had growing up, that was like that brash kind of indie guitar music that men seem to love doing, even though they're not as good at it as women are. But yeah, I love that, and I'm gonna definitely listen to more of them because it's just fun and lovely.
I'm glad you both enjoyed it.
The next song is staying with the Emerald Isle, another Irish artist who Glasgow luckily has claimed as their own. It's Martha Fionn and the new song, Want You to Know.
Coming to your street, I have seen the cases you
The wonderful Martha Fionn and her new song Want You to Know. It's a follow-up from her debut record Sunday Best, and here we see Martha Fionn lean more into sort of kind of a poppy avenue. There's synth harpsichords at one stage there, which is big, but yeah, it's kind of a departure from the sort of more kind of folksy kind of roots of her her latter work, and it definitely kind of plays again on themes of sort of friendship and welcomeness and openness. If you're a fan of Martha Fionn's, you might have heard the song Wallflower, which covers sort of similar themes as far as I can tell, and it's just really excellent homespun kind of just angular pop, and I'm a big fan. I actually once booked Martha Fionn for a show in Aberdeen and it went very well. So there you go.
I am a huge Martha Fionn fan, a stan, if you will. And just the other day, I was listening to her first album and thinking, I could do with some more of this. So I'm very happy to hear that she's got a new song. I love how it's obviously drawing on quite a lot of like retro feeling influences, but still just sounds very new and exciting at the same time. And I think it's also one of those songs that will reward repeat listening because there's a lot going on to enjoy.
I've always been a massive fan of obviously her vocal, but there's such a rich sound from her vocal in that. So it almost sounds like you don't actually need the rest of the instrumentation because she could just carry it herself. I was always found her quite humble as well. I think she's just there's no airs or graces. It's just like, you know, this is what I do. This is my music. It just happens to be very, very good. And I just happen to be exceptionally talented. So I'm going to carry that those airs and graces for you, Martha. And or Claire, isn't it?
So it's Claire, yeah.
So, it's I cannot rave enough.
I think one of the things about Martha Fionn's work, she's so underrated. And like, we don't really say, I mean, I guess like there's popular narratives about the Glasgow music scene and, you know, how competitive it is and how everyone's kind of out for each other and all this stuff. But at the same time, it's all very close-knit in a community, whatever you prefer to believe. I think Martha Fionn is very underrated within the scene and certainly within kind of Scottish music. And she does have like Lost Map and all the kind of and that machine kind of behind her as well. So, I mean, she does get on Six Music and on other kind of radio stations. And I really hope this next record is the one where she sort of breaks through and becomes one of those kind of names that we think of when we think of music in Glasgow. Because as we've covered before, there's a lot of dross and this certainly isn't that. This is really enterprising pop music.
So last song today is Orchards with Sincerely Overwhelmed.
Trying to fit into society, 'cause it's too hard to describe the mechanics of my mind. But believe me, it's true that I want to be honest with you. Can you call me when you get here?
So Orchards are a four-piece band from Brighton, and that track comes from their debut album, Love Core, and it's about accepting that you're not doing as well as you think you are. The sound is obviously kind of math rock meets indie pop, and it has those lovely fiddly math rock rhythms that, when they're done well, I think are just the best. There's a lot of excitement and joy, which I love, and I think it would have been the perfect track for, you know, like a fun summer of gigs, but given the lyrical content, it's also very apt for lockdown. How did you guys feel about it?
Love the math rock elements to that, and it's you've got this thing, Mel.
I knew you weren't gonna like this.
No, but first of all, you seem to like unorthodox sound excerpts or samples.
So I know, it's funny, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a common theme. So I find it a bit too happy, and I know that if the band ever listens to this, they're gonna be like, fuck her. And yeah, if I was you, I'd say the same. I'd be like, fuck you. But it's just a bit too buoyant for me. And I am not quite there. I think it's the vocal I'm not quite connecting with fully, and I'm really sorry, but what I will say is I know that that's going to be an anthem for a new generation and they're going to really love it. It's just not for me.
I was in two minds because I really, really appreciate quite a lot of what was going on there. I like that it was sort of kind of two songs in one. The composition was really interesting. This is a purely personal note, right? And I think Orchards are a good band. Whenever I hear phones in a song, it reminds me of Streetcar by Funeral for a Friend. Real ones know. And then I just sort of, I spent like 2 minutes of that song sort of kind of wallowing in how truly lame I was as like a 15-year-old. And so it took me out of it a bit. But no, I definitely can imagine that, right. You know, like gigs in Brighton, it's sunny and it's summer and
yeah,
but actually the world is a shithole.
That was a really strong group of tracks, and as always, I guess that's it from us, isn't it? Mel, anything you want to leave us with?
Yes, have you listened to the new Katie Malko album, everybody? If you haven't, you should. It's great.
No, I've been entrenched in Run the Jewels. I've just literally not kind of listened to anything else, I have to say.
That's a good excuse, yeah.
I didn't really like their last album, but like this one, I feel like LP sometimes produces songs that are too busy, and then his raps are too busy over it. But I think he's reined it in a wee bit. I do like his. I've liked him since like Company Flow. So you can't phone my house telling me that I'm into just current trends and that I don't, you know, I don't think about these things because I do. So don't come to my house calling me those names.
That's all from us. Please stay safe and look after each other.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. One more tune.